Good evening. Beautiful, beautiful day in the mountains, isn't it? Let's bow for a word of prayer before we get started. Father, we do thank you for your tender mercies. We do thank you for your goodness and your grace to sinners like us, for your redeeming love, for your sanctifying grace, for your persevering grace that you will see through what you have begun in us until the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you that you are, as we just sang, the beautiful one, all fairest Lord Jesus. And what a delight it is to meet in the middle of the week, to stop our busy schedules and come to the house of the Lord to hear from your word. And we just pray that your word and your spirit would be our guide and our teacher tonight, that we may be better equipped to do your will, to walk in your ways, and Lord, as Paul says, stir us up towards love and good works. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, John, when I've filled in for John in the past, what I've done is just kind of continue where I've left off in the youth downstairs, but tonight I felt compelled to do something different and teach on what one pastor, theologian, calls the missing jewel in the Christian life. Anybody guess what the missing jewel in the Christian life he is referring to? Prayer, good guess. Worship. Pardon? Joy. Those are all probably missing jewels in the Christian life. What he's referring to is hospitality. Hospitality. A few introductory comments. In studying this topic lately, I feel like this is very unfinished. Literally, my books are sprawled out on my desk. This is a vast topic. You know, when you start studying something and you really dig into it, it can kind of be overwhelming. So I'm in that stage right now. But I certainly don't hold myself up as an example, a great example. Sarah and I have tried to do hospitality well with young couples, with youth, college students, and some of you, many of you. At times we've done it well. Many, many times we've been very inconsistent in doing this. Many of you have opened up your homes to us, and we've been blessed by that. Also, I don't want to narrowly define what hospitality is, because it can look so many ways. I think the tendency can be sometimes to look at ancient Near Eastern culture and just kind of say, well, hospitality is kind of irrelevant to us today, because back then, well, they didn't have hotels and motels. Back then, travel was very dangerous, but like many teachings, as we approach the scriptures thousands of years later, we have to pull out the biblical principle, right? We have to pull out the biblical principle but keep the application flexible, modern, contemporary application to a timeless principle. Immediately, probably different things pop into your mind when I say the word hospitality. Maybe entertainment. Maybe you have to have a nice house, nice clean house to do hospitality well. Maybe tea, coffee, a chat in the living room. Maybe going for a walk, maybe Ging Richter's desserts come into your mind for what really hospitality should be. I'm not going to give a definition, but rather a goal. Hospitality is sustaining a weary traveler, body and soul. Sustaining a weary traveler, physical, spiritual, body and soul, body and soul. My premise tonight, I'll just go ahead and tell you where I'm going. Hospitality is not a spiritual gift for some Christians, but a responsibility and opportunity for all Christians. And I believe the basis for this is the Word of God. Point number one, hospitality. We're going to look at the commands in Scripture. Hospitality, the commands. The New Testament has at least 9 different passages that mention hospitality. I'm not going to give all 9 of those. We're going to look at a few. But from these passages, the Apostle Paul, John, Peter, and the Apostle to the author, to the Hebrews, clearly teach that hospitality is not a spiritual gift for some, but a responsibility to all Christians. Romans 12, that's where we're going to start. Make your way to Romans 12. Romans 12, beginning in verse 13. Let love be genuine. Let's start in verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Question. What is the context for verse 13? What is the context of that command, seek to show hospitality? Well, the exhortation from verse 13 for the New Testament church, Church of Rome, New Testament church, universal, is verse 10. Look back at verse 10. Love one another. Love one another. You could widen the context to begin in verse 9 as I began to read. This section, maybe in your Bible, in my Bible, I have the ESV. This section is called Marks of the True Christian. Or perhaps in your Bible, it's the marks of love or love in action. Taking a step further back, we could say that the context is chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where we are commanded to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Well, how do we live sacrificially? How do we do that? What arms and legs and feet can we give that? What does love in action look like? Well, it means in part seeking to show hospitality. Certainly, verse 10, love one another, that's no surprise to us. But do you sometimes wonder, how can I do that? How can we tangibly love one another, practical, down-to-earth, genuine Christian love to the church and to neighbors? Of course, there's many, many ways. We could brainstorm. We could throw out so many different answers of how we can love one another, both in the church and outside the church. But from this passage, we see that clearly one answer is showing hospitality. Now, let's look at verse 13 a little bit closer there. The end of verse 13, the phrase is translated in various ways into the English. In the ESV, it says, seek to show hospitality. Does anybody have the NAS or the NIV? That translation says, practicing hospitality. King James, any King James versions in the room? I like that translation. What does yours say? Giving yourself to hospitality. The Greek word for given, for practicing, for seeking to show is dioko. The best translation is, in my opinion, is to strive. Strive for. And literally, it's either pursue or chase. Think about that. Pursue or chase. The verb points to a vigorous effort. This same Greek word is found elsewhere in the New Testament where we are to pursue righteousness. We are to pursue peace. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:15, 1 Timothy 6:11, or we're to pursue love. Old Testament illustration of this, 2 Samuel chapter 9, think of David seeking after someone to bless from the house of Saul. Anybody know who I'm referring to? Mephibosheth. That's right. After the grace of God was shown to David in countless ways, right? He was preserved from Saul's rampage. He was given victory over Goliath, restored after the sin with Bathsheba. David, responding to this, he sought after, chased after someone to show kindness to. Three different times in that passage, David says, is there anyone I can show kindness to from the house of Saul? Is there anybody? And so the application probably is pretty clear for us here. We are to actively pursue, promote, pray for, plan for, aspire to, chase, seek opportunities to show hospitality. Passage number 2, make your way to 1 Peter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Have you ever done that? Have you ever shown hospitality? Verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, look at the same pattern as Romans 12. Peter doesn't just leave us in the dark to figure out how to love one another. In verse 8, he tells us one key way to love one another. Verse 8, show hospitality. Leading into verse 9, show hospitality to one another. This is one of the one another commands that we're familiar with in the New Testament. Serve one another, pray for one another, share one another's burdens, love one another. And so Peter's writing to persecuted Christians. He knows that one of the things that will keep the church strong and missional and safe is to stoke the fires of brotherly love by ways of earnest and fervent hospitality. And the Greek word here for earnest or fervent speaks of strenuous effort that athletes undergo to win the race, the training that they endure. How do we keep our love for the brothers? How do we keep our love for the church strong and fervent and persevering? One of the ways is hospitality, as we see in this passage. And notice also how Peter relates spiritual gifts to hospitality. Verse 9 is leading into verse 10. Do you see that? Peter's not teaching that hospitality is a spiritual gift. He's teaching that the house, the household, is the ideal place to use your spiritual gifts. Verse 11, where he says that we are speaking and serving. You see those verbs there, speaking and serving. Those are summary words for various spiritual gifts. And what's the end result? Well, the church is built up and strengthened, and Christ is glorified, as we see in verse 11. So Peter's clearly teaching that hospitality is a vehicle through which we can use our spiritual gifts. So if we don't know what to do in the church, how to serve in the church, if there's no slots open in the church in different ways, gifts of service, gifts of mercy, giving, helps, teaching, evangelism, all can be used faithfully where? In the home. In the home. Last passage, and this is all under point one. My other points aren't this long, trust me. Okay, so third passage, Hebrews 13. Make your way to Hebrews 13. It's another command. This one is in the negative. Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2. And notice the same pattern as Romans 12 and Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4. Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, right? So that's a negative imperative command. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And what, has anything come to mind? Is that an echo of any Old Testament imagery, passage, characters in the Old Testament? Who are entertaining angels unaware? Abraham and Sarah, that's right. A couple other examples, Gideon, the parents of Samson are all entertaining angels unaware. And that's just it's a reminder to me and Sarah, as we seek to show hospitality in our home, we are to treat everybody that comes in our door as though they were angels of God, or even Christ himself, which I think in the passage in Genesis 18, that's a Christophany, isn't it? That's a theophany. That's the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord. But the main thing that the main thing I want us to see in these different passages is the same pattern Hebrews 13, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4. There's the exhortation in verse 1 in Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. How? How do we do that? Verse 2 explains that showing hospitality is one key way. Just a couple quotes here. The Christian practice of hospitality. This is a theologian. I didn't write his name down because I didn't know who he was, but I like the quote. Christian practice of hospitality was not viewed by New Testament authors simply as a means for overcoming a practical problem, empty bellies. Theological statements by different authors in the New Testament show that it was frequently viewed as the concrete expression of Christian love in the early church. Another quote, this is theologian Carl Henry. Christian hospitality is not a matter of choice. It's not a matter of money. It's not a matter of age or gender or social standing or personality. Hospitality is a matter of obedience to God. This book, I've read this recently. It was handed to me, and it blew me away. It's called The Hospitality Commands, and you can see how thin it is. It's a good book. You can get through it in one afternoon. Hospitality Commands, Alexander Strock. His little subtitle is Building Loving Christian Community and Building Bridges to Friends and Neighbors. I highly commend it. And he says in this book, quote, through the ministry of hospitality, we provide friendship, acceptance, refreshment, comfort, and love in one of the richest and deepest ways possible for humans to understand. Unless we open the doors of our homes to one another, the reality of the local church as a close-knit family of loving brothers and sisters is only a theory. All right, so that's the commands. Not only are there commands, point number two, there's many examples in Scripture. And I'm not going to spend, we probably can think of Old Testament examples, Elisha, the wealthy Shunammite woman, Rahab gave a friendly welcome to the spies, Abraham and the angelic visitors. New Testament, Jesus is one who regularly dined as a guest in the home of sinners, but he quickly took the place of a host and was the blessing giver, not only the blessing receiver, but predominantly the blessing giver. We can think of Jesus entering into the home of Zacchaeus, right? We can think of Mary and Martha, probably the most pronounced example of hospitality in the New Testament. Lydia, after the Lord opened her heart, she opened her home to Paul. I think it was Silas and Timothy. Also, it's important to note that the 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, this is a biblical requirement of elders. Also, in 1 Timothy 5, widows are to be considered for support from the local church if they have practiced hospitality. So as you can see, this command, and by ways of command and example in the New Testament, is not really a minor teaching. All right, so point number three, hospitality, the opportunity. The opportunity. In this book that I just mentioned, he names these two overarching outcomes for Christians in practicing hospitality. The first one is building loving Christian community. And the idea is strengthening the ties of brotherly love within the church, and as we saw in the context of those three passages, John, Peter, Paul, the author to Hebrews, those are all given within the context of the church, not just showing hospitality to travelers and outsiders and missionaries, but to those inside the church. So I've already kind of addressed that, but let me just give a couple of quotes from the early church, which was known for a very liberal hospitality. This is Clement. This is Clement of Rome in AD 96. He writes about the church in Corinth. Indeed, was there ever a visitor in your midst that did not approve your excellent and steadfast faith, or did not proclaim the magnificent character of your hospitality? A church historian writes about the early church, and he writes this. One of the most predominant features in the picture of early Christianity, which is so rich in good works, is undoubtedly hospitality. So building loving Christian communities, the first outcome. Second outcome, it's a launching pad for the gospel. It's a launching pad for the gospel. This is Michael Green. He wrote kind of a magnificent work called Evangelism and the Early Church. He writes this: "One of the most important methods of spreading the gospel in antiquity was by use of homes." And he was referring to Aquila and Priscilla. He goes on to say, "Homes like theirs must have been exceedingly effective in the outreach of the church." So you don't have to look at, really even have to look at church history. We don't have to look at early church quotes or anything. Let's look at the New Testament. Luke teaches us in Acts that the home was a hub for evangelism and teaching. Acts chapter 5, every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Another example, Matthew, who after leaving his occupation as a tax collector, used his home to give a reception to Jesus and the disciples, and probably used it to evangelize his friends. Think of the example of Cornelius, who invited his friends and family into his home to hear Peter explain the gospel message of salvation. Don't have to look any further than Jesus, the prime example of reaching people through the doorway of hospitality. An interesting example in church history is Martin Luther. Does anybody know the little magazine out there, Table Talk, that many of us know and love? Does anybody know where that name Table Talk comes from? What's that? Yeah, it came from papers, but the name itself, so many different students and guests would write reflections on their time with Martin and Catherine Luther. But the name Table Talk comes from Martin and Katie's invitation to guests and to students into their home to sit around the table and talk. This was counseling, informal counseling, discipleship. This was Martin Luther's second pulpit, wasn't it? And so that's where the name Table Talk comes from. Very liberal in opening his house to others. But the main point that really I want to make in this idea of hospitality being a launching pad for the gospel is this, that oftentimes we think of evangelism as in programs or as a method of some kind. But don't we see that a key biblical method for evangelism is simply hospitality? All right, well, let me go to Luke chapter 14. You don't have to go there. This is the parable of the great banquet. Let me just read it for me. If you want to go there, you certainly can. The parable of the great banquet. "He said also to the man who had invited him, 'When you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just.'" And isn't this the Christian mission? Isn't this our mission, to invite people into the kingdom of God, to invite people to a feast? And the idea is that God's house is not yet full enough. Right? We've got to get more people into the house of God. And so who should we seek to show hospitality to? Well, certainly friends, family, relatives, traveling teachers and missionaries. I know you guys open up your home to missionaries when they come to the mission conference. It's been a great model for me to see, where our homes are a refuge. It's a refuge for visiting a missionary or minister of the gospel. What about new Christians? What about hurting Christians? What about lonely Christians? What about new church members, church visitors? What about our neighbors down the street? Let us not forget, of course, the example of Christ who dined with sinners. I keep coming back to that because that's so clear and so important. And in fact, the Greek word for hospitality is a compound word, and it simply means love of stranger. Love of stranger. Hospitality, commands, examples, the opportunity that is before us. And last, hospitality the shape of the gospel, the shape of the gospel. In showing hospitality, we have an amazing example as the body of Christ to really show forth the gospel. And I mentioned David showing forth kindness to Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you want to jot that down and perhaps read it later, there's three different times in that passage where David is seeking out someone to give hesed to, that Old Testament word for kindness or mercy. Who can I give hesed to? And then three different times it said that Mephibosheth ate at the table of the king. It's such a wonderful, vivid picture of the grace of God that we, who are we in the story? We're certainly not David, are we? We're Mephibosheth, right? We're the outsider. We're the unloved. We're the forgotten. We're the man who is lame in one foot. We're cut off. We're separated. We're outcast from the temple, Jerusalem. He's been cast away, and David took him in. He washed his feet, so to speak. He gave him a place at his table. And it, to me, could it be the Old Testament counterpart to the prodigal son in the New Testament, that those who are completely unworthy have a seat at the table of the king? So there's a gospel shape to hospitality. God is our host. He invites us to have table fellowship with him. Not every Sunday, the first Sunday of every month, we get to see this reenacted, don't we? Where God is our host and he invites us, his honored guests, to the table. And so like Mephibosheth, we are invited to dine at the table of the king, all by grace alone. We are his desired guest. He wants to eat with us. He longs to have fellowship with us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just a picture of God's grace, eating at his table? And just a word about custom and culture of the ancient Near East during that time. The entire ancient Near East practiced hospitality. It was custom. In fact, I went when I lived in St. Louis as I was in seminary. I did worked for a company called ISI, International Students Incorporated. I was a volunteer, but it was an outreach to international students. And so I was assigned to Lindenwood University, North St. Louis. And so they had a ton of international students. So I just kind of tried to find ways to meet them and intersect with them. And there were a handful of students from Nepal. And I got to know one and befriended one. And when you befriend one, you end up befriending them all. And so I was able to enter into the little apartment where I think four or five of these guys lived, and they invited their friends, male and female, with them, and they cooked for me. And I gotta go, but they just kept cooking for me. It was mostly rice and vegetables, but I think one of them went shopping and they came back. But they showed hospitality to me, and I did my best to try to use that as a platform to share the gospel with them. But a lot of have you ever been shown hospitality in an Eastern or Asian culture? It's a duty. That was a duty for them to do that, a responsibility for them to do that. But for Israel, it's different. For Israel in the Old Testament, because of God's covenant chesed, because of God's covenant love to them, hospitality went way beyond custom of the ancient Near East. Hospitality was part of their identity as children of God, as those adopted sons and daughters of the Lord. It was the Lord who welcomed them. It was the Lord who welcomed them and took them in, who made the stranger a guest, who made the alien a citizen. And so we see this in the redemptive history of Israel, that as Israel's host, God provided and protected Israel in the wilderness, and then all the way into the promised land, right? A land flowing with milk and honey. It's a picture of a feast. And so this practice in the Bible, in the Old Testament Israel, this was not grounded in custom. It was not grounded in custom or social norms. It was grounded in the grace of God. Hospitality for Old Testament Israel became a natural response to being welcomed and received and shown the loving kindness of God himself. And just by ways of, right, we've looked back, we've kind of looked in the present, but looking forward, isn't this really what we're going to do for all of eternity, is dine at the table of the King? Future, forever, ultimate hospitality at the table of the King. Revelation 19, those who enter heaven, the picture is a guest. The picture is a guest at the wedding supper of the Lamb, an unending feast with the Lord. So let me just throw out a question. This, going through this book and these passages in Scripture, this was heart-penetrating stuff for me, because I look at this as a mirror and I see, you know, I haven't done really as well as I know I should, right? Let me just throw out a question to consider for you to consider. What are some obstacles for you in practicing hospitality? What are some obstacles? Here's a few that I jotted down. You could probably add to busyness. What about our culture? We need to be in tune with our cultural blind spots, don't we? We can be very private. I can be very private by nature. What about our personality? I'm just kind of introverted. Kind of just wears me out being around people. Or I'm not really a people person, right? What does the command of hospitality say to that? Hospitality is hard work. That's another one. Hospitality is hard work. It's tiring. It's time-consuming. It can be expensive. It doesn't have to be expensive. There's cleanup. And the exhausting part sometimes comes when people stay too long. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, just continue blessing. But they're having such a good time. I'm getting tired. I would say for me, that the number one obstacle for practicing hospitality is this monster sin of selfishness. There's lots of excuses that we can come up with. I'm not a good enough cook. My house is a mess. My house is too small. I'm not a people person. We might think hospitality has to do with entertainment. There's no shortage of excuses that we can come up with, me at the front of the line. So a premise. Again, hospitality is not a spiritual gift for some Christians, but a responsibility and opportunity for all Christians. The missing jewel of the Christian life. Do you agree? Disagree? Just a few kind of practical bullet points here, and I'll be done. Maybe open it up for questions or comments. Again, I try to be big on biblical principles and let the Holy Spirit do the application, right? But just a few practical things. Don't wait for someone to invite you. Invite them, right? Especially newcomers to our church. What better way can we open up our hearts to newcomers than to open up our homes? Sarah and I have found it beneficial to set a fixed time each week. Now, whether we can do it every week or not is a different story. But it used to be Sunday afternoons when our kids were not napping. But now that we're back in naps, Sunday night works really well for us, and Thursday night has worked really well for us. But Sunday afternoon, is that not a fitting conclusion to worship, is to open up your home to someone? So a fixed time every week. Make a list. Prayerfully, make a list. New members, visitors, lonely Christians, hurting Christians, non-Christians, neighbors, make a list. Have a plan. Sarah and I, we like having our guests. We like going for a walk. We like to go outside, you know, with the kids, let the kids run around, or go in the backyard, or go for a walk at the park. Above all, take a genuine interest in people. And so, again, not a definition, but a goal. Sustaining a weary traveler, body and soul. And as we make that effort, as often is the case, when you make the effort to use your spiritual gifts to be a blessing to others, what happens? Who's the one that gets blessed the most? Right? You do. All right, that's all I got. Any questions, comments, or snide remarks? Yes. Yes, Alexander Strauch, Strauch. And the title is called The Hospitality Commands.